All right, each November, beer fans line up on Black Friday to secure a bottle of Goose Island's Bourbon County Stout. Stout is aged in bourbon barrels and comes in a traditional Bourbon County Stout variant, as well as a number of special edition variants, too. And joining us to break it all down is a guy that has joined us every year since we've done this, 10 years running, and that is my pal, Mike Siegel, Senior Innovation Manager for Goose Island, for the very first time in studio, the president of Goose Island, and that's Todd Osmond. Gentlemen, welcome in.
Welcome.
Thanks glad you're both here. Absolutely. Absolutely. And also, we always bring in some very special guests. My beautiful fiance, Erica, is joining us for the first time in the studio, and two of my closest friends from the WGN Morning News. It's Jeff Hoover and his lovely wife, Tracy. Both host Happy Hour with the Hoovers on Facebook Live now and then. Is that coming back at some point?
I'm always willing to
special,
drink.
So, yeah. Okay, special occasion of some sort of Thanksgiving edition,
yeah,
something
I've,
like
I've
that.
I've got quite a few cocktails in the hopper. So.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
As well.
Thank you.
Todd, I want to start with you. Beer itself, you know, when did that come into your life? Because I know you came from the music industry, and we must have crossed paths at some point. You were in the industry the exact same amount of time I was, 84 to 95. I was on the retail side. You were Columbia Records, you were Universal, you were here in Chicago, you were in Minneapolis. How did you transition from the music industry to the beer industry?
First off, I think we absolutely crossed paths. It's a smaller business than people
it
think.
It is, yeah.
Probably at some show or
convention or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But beer has always been a passion of mine. Before I was even of legal drinking age, it just was something that I thought was delicious from the beginning. It didn't take me time to develop a palate for bitterness. But I worked when I graduated college, instead of going to law school, I made a last-minute decision to go bartend at Goose Island, and that was in 1988.
A last-minute decision.
The year that we opened. Yes, it was a last-minute decision.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And Todd, for you? Mike, for you?
As far as my transition into the beer world, it's, you know, I actually used to work in the Equitable building. I came from IT, like a lot of
that.
Brewers.
That's right.
We've
That's
transitioned
right.
from an inferior career to a superior career of making beer.
Nice.
But it just started with the love of beer. I mean, that's, you know, we've got a lot of career changers, actually, at the brewery. And it started with the passion, a love of beer. And so now we get to not only make the beer, but we get to talk about the beer, tell the stories of the beer. Because I think with the beer, when we're making beers of this caliber, there's a lot of storytelling behind it.
Absolutely. And Jeff and Tracy, when did you begin drinking?
Probably a Pabst Blue Ribbon from my uncle.
I meant today.
Oh, yeah. A few minutes ago.
I think mine may have been in college and Keystone. I think that
Keystone Light.
Yeah.
But you're bourbon people, and you've put me a little deeper into the bourbon world and into Manhattans and things that were outside of my own comfort zone as well.
Yes, yeah, so we are corrupting many and bringing them into the bourbon world.
yes, you are. You are. You absolutely are. And Erica was more wine and champagne woman, and we introduced you to bourbon, and you were a little sketchy about doing it for the first time. But I mean, honestly, when we go out socially, I mean, we always get an old fashioned, a Manhattan, and enjoy that. And now we've introduced you to Bourbon County, and you were Prop Day last year and really enjoyed the experience, right?
It was lovely. I absolutely enjoyed every moment of it. I think that it really takes time to develop your palate, but just similarly to wine, this has the beautiful notes and aromatics to really kind of relate to. So it's been enjoyable. Prop Day's fantastic. The team, everyone's been great.
Yeah, and Teresa, you've been mentioning too about, you know, it is really the notes is relatable to wine as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And food pairings and the nuances and reading the tasting notes. I'm still developing my palate, but I love, you know, reading a tasting note and then going back and saying, oh yeah, now I do pick that up and I can smell that.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Now going back around the room, Todd, like, what types of beer do you enjoy? It's like picking a child, probably your favorite child. But like, you know, are you like lagers, dark, ales? Like, what's your favorite?
I mean, the standard answer in our industry is the beer in my hand. Right?
Okay,
that's my favorite.
All right, okay.
It depends on the season. It depends on the mood. It's just like music. You listen to certain music during a different time of the day, a different time of the week. Right, depending on where you're at. So same with beer, but Mike and I call this Bourbon County season.
Yeah,
this
that's
is
right.
The start of the season.
It very much is. It very much is. How about you, the Hoovers, Erica? Like, what's your favorite beer? Like, do you like a dark beer? Do you like a lighter beer? Do you like a stout, like typically?
Yeah, he said seasonal. Like, I can't imagine drinking one of these on a hot August day because I think of them more as a wintry stout. But and it depends on the meal, and maybe I'll have a Hefeweizen or something like that. Yeah. So it's
I like a lighter beer typically, but I have
your Colt 45 or a.
Yes.
Okay.
But I'll drink anything. Just put it in front of me. I've got six beautiful beers in front of me right now.
Absolutely.
And which, I am salivating.
Which we're going to describe in detail. How about you, Erica?
It's so innovative, and there's a story with everything and thought and intention put into it. And so I really have come to enjoy these beers for what they are.
Typically, a beer is what percentage of alcohol?
5 to 7% alcohol is pretty standard.
And what is the standard in Bourbon County and the highest this year?
We're anywhere from 14 to 18% this year.
Wow! Yay! Wow!
The barrel aging.
Yay.
And we start out. Most of these start out between 11 and 12% alcohol. Okay. So we're picking up some alcohol along the way, and we never have a target. It's just the barrel aging process.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it. You're getting flavor. You're getting the spirit, you know, there's a lot of residual oak character.
Sure.
You're again, bourbon barrel is an ingredient, and just like hops and malt, we're adding flavor every time we do this. And sometimes we're going to talk about ones where we went through a barrel twice. So you're getting twice the amount of flavor.
All right, the big Bourbon County Stout. All right, the big Bourbon County Stout 2024 lineup coming up next on 720 WGN. All right, Dave Plyer in studio with Todd Osmond, president of Goose Island, Mike Siegel, chief innovation guy, WGN TV's Jeff Hoover, Tracy Hoover, Eric McDonald. We are talking about this year's Bourbon County Stout lineup. All right, let's start out with the original, because even when I went to your tasting about a week ago, there was a lot of people that said, well, my favorite is always the original.
Mm-hmm.
Different every year slightly, maybe slightly.
Yeah, we release it once a year. The average age of the beer in this glass, and feel free to start sipping. I can talk a lot. So
cheers, everyone.
Cheers. Cheers. Smell, taste. These are about ambient temperature. They're not. We really encourage people to not drink them ice cold, because you mute the flavors and aromas when you drink it really cold. A little bit of chill is fine, but all the way up to ambient temperature, room temperature. We release the beer once a year, Black Friday. Across Chicagoland, across the country. It's a family of beers. It started out with this beer original, or the original version of this beer. But we make it every year. It's a mix of Heaven Hill, Four Roses, Wild Turkey, and Buffalo Trace barrels. So those names will probably register with people out there. And part of that is just because they're making a distillate, a bourbon, at such a high quality and character. And like I said, we work with the best distilleries. We want to get the best barrels, because they're really impactful to the flavor. But even further back, we want to get make the best beer, so it's high quality malts. Hops really aren't a big factor here, except for some bitterness. It's not like we talk about other styles of beer, like IPAs, where you're really getting a lot of aromatics and flavor from hops. Here we're just getting some balancing bitterness to the sweetness. But if you think of just like the depth of aroma, you can come back and smell this 3 or 4 times over the course of 5 minutes, and you maybe get something else. You might get chocolate the first time, then come back and you get vanilla and sherry and nutty almond and maybe some dried fruit like fig. There's just so much complexity to it. And so we've got a broad target of a flavor profile. Like, this is Bourbon County Stout, it doesn't need to be exactly those things in a certain order every year. We embrace the process.
Well, here's what's funny too is my friend and one of the hosts on the station, Uncle Dean, always said, nobody wants to hear you on radio eating and drinking. And it's very true, but we are very descriptive in what we do here when we do this show once a year. And that's why it's really important to talk about what you taste, because we want folks to go out and find their favorite or buy them all and sample them for themselves. So what are you tasting in some of this?
Everything you just said, I now taste in my glass.
I think the quickest way to describe it is liquid dessert.
You
don't need to pair it with anything. But if you like the flavors of chocolate and caramel and vanilla And we often get a fruity expression like a blackberry or a cherry. Mm-hmm. Through time, this beer develops like a nutty almond character. I mean, that's very resonant with dessert flavors. And so if you're into that, people that you don't have to be into bourbon or into stouts, just think of those flavors, and those resonate with almost everybody.
Mm-hmm. And let me disagree with Dave a little bit here when you said tiny differences from year to year. I think let me get you to think a little different. Nuanced differences. You've done a lot of these now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when Mike and I talk about all those flavors, one of my favorite parts of the year is when we try the finished project of original every year. And for me this year, chocolate right up front.
Yes.
A lot of oak character. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that depends on the weather conditions at our barrel house.
Which is really interesting. Yeah, share that story because that's a big deal. Because, I mean, we've had some warm winters.
Yeah, sure. So this year, on average, it sat in a barrel for about 16 months. We like it to go through four seasons. So where they are stored is not temperature controlled. So we want the wood to expand, contract, pull the beer in. Beer comes out, pulling with it some tannins, vanillins, some of the whiskey that was left behind, some of the bourbon that was left behind. So depending on the temperature fluctuations, we're going to get a different beer every year. So I notice these differences.
And I also want to say, and correct myself, like the barrels that you use from different distilleries, they're different every year, right, for the most part?
We've used from those distilleries that I mentioned pretty much for the last 3 to 4 years. Okay. We've had years where we've been entirely Heaven Hill. You know, the barrel market, again, they're making bourbon, they're dumping barrels. You know, bourbon, you know, to tell any of you guys, bourbon's been on this hot streak for at least 10 years, which means they're dumping more barrels, which means, you know, there's more barrels available. But
right.
They may have gotten, they're getting a little younger in their age. We used to get 8-plus-year-old barrels very easily 10-plus years ago. That's tougher now. As age statements have gone away, and you know, it's maybe some younger whiskey coming out. So we go down to Kentucky one to two times a year, go down to the distilleries, talk to the master distillers, master blenders, and just kind of get a state of the industry, because we don't have contracts for barrels. It's really just kind of a handshake deal.
Like, which is amazing.
And it's earned relationships. Yeah. Every time we use a brand of a bourbon or any American whiskey on our packaging, it's all earned. There's no money changing hands to use that. It's just earned through the process of us going down there. They recognize that we're really in it for their quality, like their quality barrels, and we want to use their brand as well.
How do you drink it? Explain to folks how you drink it, because this is not a bottle you pick up and drink out of.
I think they're great sharing beers. They're 500 milliliter bottles, so that's a big bottle for a big, you know, 14.7% alcohol beer. So I encourage people to, as I mentioned, temperature first and foremost. If you're going to keep them in the fridge, which is perfectly fine, pull them out an hour before tasting, or pour them out, you know, in these smaller measures. Here we've got a couple ounces each, and just let them sit for a little bit. Use the warmth of your hand in the glass. We got some nice branded glassware here. That's got almost like a stemless wine glass. You don't have to have something that elegant, but I think anything that you would, you know, like a cognac snifter or something like that, that, you know, that's kind of shaped so it's going to bring the aroma up towards the nose, is going to really highlight the depth of aroma and flavor here.
I love it says the original on it this year. I like that very much. All right, the next one is the brand cask finish. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, cask finish. We've been doing this. So it's the second year where we've done something deliberately called cask finish. Prior, we've done similar things called reserve. And all that really is highlighting the brand of the barrel. So we're on to the second beer now.
Cheers.
This is, so the beer going into the barrel is the same as original, the same as the first one. But instead of using those four distilleries, like I mentioned for original, this is entirely from one distillery. This is a Bardstown Bourbon Company. They're a little bit newer, very, very innovative. They're actually a contract producer first, meaning that other companies hire them to make their whiskey. And so when you go down there, they talk about, we've got 53 mash bills, 15 yeasts, all these different types of thing levers that they can pull. And so for a number of years, they just made whiskey for other companies, and they learned. They learned what they like the best by making it for other people. And so they decided, this is how we want to make our own brand of whiskey. And it's not bourbon. It's rye whiskey.
Right.
So still the same barrels, still virgin barrels, just like with bourbon. You know, they share the same type of barrel. Obviously, rye whiskey is majority rye malt versus corn. It brings less sweetness. I'm talking about the rye whiskey itself. Less sweetness can often kind of go a little minty, herbal. Mm-hmm. They finished their rye whiskey, so it's a six-year aged rye whiskey. And we got the first dumps or the first juice from them, the first stuff that they produced for themselves. We'd built up that relationship to the point where we knew that those were emptying.
It's amazing.
And we got that access. This is their first barrels of their own. They finished their rye whiskey in a hybrid cherry wood oak barrel. So it's a cherry wood is not very common.
Did you know that going into it when you were working with them?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. They told us. And so cherry oak is, on top of being very flavorful, we talked about the vanillins and the caramels and whatnot and the lactones that deliver like coconut. It's very malleable, like physically malleable, so you can make a liquid tight barrel from it. Cherry wood is a lot tougher, so you don't really see cherry wood barrels that often. But it's got a lot of flavor. It's got cherry-like flavors that come from the actual wood. So they made a hybrid barrel of cherry wood and oak staves together, and they toasted it. They infrared toasted it to bring out some of those like almost like marshmallow notes and fruit notes that you can get from American oak when you toast it.
It's amazing.
So we got their rye whiskey barrels and then aged Bourbon County Stout. We call it Bourbon County Stout in the family, even though it's rye whiskey. So hopefully that's not confusing. But we finished it in the same barrels that they finished their barrels in, the cherry wood oak barrels. So we're really mimicking process there.
So does the barrel actually have like the oak stave, a cherry stave?
It does.
Yes.
They refer to it as a zebra barrel.
Zebra barrel.
Okay.
Can I ask a question too?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you get these barrels. They had bourbon in them previously. Then you put your beer in there. Is there another step after you're done with the barrels? Is there a market for somebody?
Use them again?
Do you use them again? And once you're done with them, is there another type of
aftermarket? Yeah. It's a great question. We only use them once because they're so flavorful, but if we use them again, we would still get a little bit more, but we really want the impact of that first use cask. So we'll sell them off to the same broker we buy them from. And the biggest market for ex-bourbon barrels and even our barrels that once they've had beer in them is Scotland. Scotch whiskey is a huge market. So they don't use virgin oak. Usually not. I'd say, you know, the vast majority of their oak, their barrels are coming from bourbon.
Yeah. Updown Cigar uses your barrels to make their cigars, right? Because that's a favorite every year. They're always at Prop Day, and you go to Updown and get your cigar and so forth. But one thing we need to talk about before we go to break is the packaging.
Yes.
Especially the collectible. First of all, I mean, all the bottles are beautiful to begin with, but everything has a unique package. Proprietors is very traditional, but all these other ones from all these other, like when you did Blanton's one year, you know, came with a little bottle of Blanton's, you know, it's just the way you put together the packaging. It's beautiful the way it's designed.
Yeah. The brand team does a fantastic job and I think they up their game every single year. It's really trying to connect with, you know, we're using another company's brand. I mean, this is a big deal. And again, it's not a paid partnership. It's really just earned. Obviously they have, you know, they get approval, goes through an approval process to make sure that they give us the thumbs up. So we're working hand in hand with them, not just on the operations and the barrel side, but also on the brand side.
Well, I think this is the first time this happened, but Bardstown came out with a Bourbon County bourbon before we ever came out with a Bardstown bourbon.
Yeah, good call. Stuff. Yeah, they've actually did a couple in market the last couple of years where it was...
Have you both tried?
Yeah, absolutely.
What does that taste like?
Amazing.
Yeah. Okay.
The kind of the chocolate and the caramel notes of Bourbon County Stout come through in the bourbon in this case. So it's basically bourbon. You know, you can probably link that up in your head. Take a bourbon and I think they were sourced bourbons in that case because their own stuff wasn't available yet. But you get those chocolate, those caramel notes from the Bourbon County Stout. 16% alcohol on this one.
More with Goose Island and Bourbon County Stout after the top stories from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Dave Fire, WGN. All right, we are talking Bourbon County Stout with Todd Osmond. He's the president of Goose Island, Mike Siegel, chief innovation guy, WGN TV's Jeff Hoover, Tracy Hoover, Erica McDonald in studio. Okay, what is the next variant that we're trying, Mike?
So for only the third time, we're releasing a rare version of Bourbon County Stout. Going back to the original in 2010, it was aged in 23-year-old Pappy Van Winkle barrels that Greg had acquired.
Amazing.
Very nice.
And that, it was beautiful beer. And, it, you know, that
And this is high alcohol. This is like 18.
This is 18%. Yeah. Just giving you a little history on rare. 2015, we did rare again with some 30-plus-year-old Heaven Hill barrels. And so we never set out to do a rare. Like I think this one just we were able to get access to consecutive years of King of Kentucky bourbon barrels. King of Kentucky is made.
Which you just told me about. This is a pretty cool.
This is a very, bourbon. Very, rare. Very rare bourbon. And I don't think most of us would even have the opportunity to buy this, even if we had a few thousand in our pocket. It's just very, very rare, highly sought after. So the bourbon enthusiasts, if you know them or if you are them, you're probably at least have heard of this. But it's we were just making connections with Brown-Forman, the parent company. They let us know that these barrels were available in 2022. And so they were mostly 15-year-old and a few 18-year-old casks. We started aging. In this case, it is not the original recipe. It's a variant. It's an Imperial Rye Stout.
Oh,
so, okay. You know, there's a few different things going on with this that are much different than typical. So starting out with the beer, it's a rye stout. It's about 31% rye, malted rye, caramel rye, chocolate rye. That brings a little bit more sweetness, a lot of more spice and character to the beer. And then
it's lighter.
Yeah.
It is definitely lighter. It's one of my favorites, by the way, this year.
So we aged. So we got the 2022 King of Kentucky barrels, aged it for about a year, and then they came to us and said, you know what? Do you want the 2023 barrels? And we said, of course. And so we did a process that we've done a few times in the past where we call it double barrel. Well, we're taking a bourbon barrel-aged beer or any type of barrel-aged beer and then essentially jumping it to another barrel. So you're doubling down on the flavor. You're getting all those vanillas and cherries and caramels and whatnot that you from the barrel, even the tannins, and then you're doubling down on that. So that's part of the reason why this is 18% alcohol, part of the reason why it feels a little bit lighter is because you're getting more spirit character.
Yeah.
So that's changing the mouthfeel and the texture of the beer as we get more ethanol. But it adds a lot of positive flavor as well. A lot of fruit, a lot of cherry.
I have to admit, and we all Ubered here tonight, but like the fact is when we did the tasting, I did take, and I Ubered home, I did take a roadie of that with me because it was fantastic.
Well done.
Like it was.
Ooh, well done.
You're missing one glass, but I will tell you, it is one of my favorites this year. It's fabulous.
The vanilla just really punches through the fruit.
Everything.
Brown-Forman, just to give a little shout out to them. So that, again, this is a very exclusive bourbon that they release, but their process is fantastic. They make their own barrels, so they've got their own cooperages, and they can toast and char their barrels, which just is an exercise. Most distilleries don't make their own barrels, first and foremost. They source from a cooperage. So they have complete control over that. They also propagate their own yeast, which may not sound like much, but it really brings a lot of fruit character. They get berry and tropical notes, whereas other distilleries may just use like a powdered dry yeast that's a little bit more neutral and just creating alcohol. Okay. So they get a lot of positive flavor out of just the process of doing those things. And I think it really translates to their whiskey and then ultimately to our beer.
What about you folks? What do you think? Like what is a highlight for you on this? It's
fabulous. Drinks like a bourbon to me.
It does.
Like,
it really very much like does. That's a really smart way of saying that. Yeah.
Right. And when you said the vanilla notes, I absolutely picked that up. I don't know which I'm serving for Thanksgiving dessert. I'm not baking.
Well, you got to get up early on Black Friday and get it done, right?
Yeah. Right.
Let me point out, this is one of my favorite aspects of Bourbon County. Thank you for bringing the Hoovers, because we love it when we bring bourbon drinkers into the beer category. Bourbon drinkers that maybe look down on beer or don't think you can get as much complexity out of it.
Well, that's because I haven't had this or haven't ventured into the Bourbon County beers.
Exactly.
For sure.
Question for you gentlemen. When it comes to really honoring the craft, what are best practices with letting it breathe? Do you have to let it breathe before you drink it? Is it nice to open it up for a little bit? Do you swirl it in the glass? Can you walk us through the best practices on that?
Yeah, to be totally honest with you, I don't think we talk so much about letting it breathe. I don't disagree that it might help it. In this case, I think we talk about temperature a lot. We've already talked about that. Like, I think that's critical first step of like not serving it too cold. There is carbonation here. It doesn't stick as much to the beer because there's so much weight and heft and sweetness to the beer. But there's some carbonation. If you continue to swirl or let it sit out, the carbonation it'll become a little bit more flat. If you like it, a little less kind of carbonated. But it's not, you'd never call this a highly carbonated beverage. But the beer does change over time. I mean, it really does. It changes first in the barrel, then in the bottle, and then in the glass. I think it really does open up. I think the most important thing for me is it's so – I think our nose and connecting with our brain can only translate so much information. So I just encourage people, like, taste it. If it's not, if it's something that, you know, you're only getting a few things or one thing out, let it sit for a second, come back. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's opening up or if that's just our brain being able to finally kind of get through this and like manage such a complex beer.
Yes.
Now, so some of these, when people find like a 2014 of their favorite or 2017, or I find a, I'll edit this, or if I find a bottle of Northwoods from somewhere, like I had
Todd's favorites
over this. It's my favorite. It is my absolute. And I have still one of the original boxes, the cases of the Northwoods. So there's a way, like, to keep them, they're going to taste different years later. So, I mean, we're talking Northwoods was how many years ago? 6 years ago, something like that. So how do you store these so that you can drink them later? And you mentioned a couple things about original flavor, keeping them in the fridge versus not.
Yeah, keep them as cold as you can. It's unrealistic, depending on the size of your beer cellar, to keep it, you know, at 38, 40 degrees year round. So people, that's going to be the best for the beer in general, is keeping it as cold as possible. Next best thing is cellar temperature. So like a wine cellar. What would a wine cellar be? 50 degrees, 45 degrees? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's great. And that's probably more realistic with a basement or whatnot. We really encourage people for the ones, and we're going to get into them here in the second half of the lineup, is the one we're adding adjuncts or ingredients to the barrel-aged beer. Those are the ones, and every beer is different. Those are the ones that have the potential to drift in profile the quickest, or the element of the, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 ingredients that we put in could change over time. Keeping those cold will really benefit those. But
all right, so we're going to talk about the final three more with Goose Island and Bourbon County Stout right after this on 720 WGN. All right, it's Dave Plyer in studio with Todd Osmond, president of Goose Island, Mike Siegel, chief innovation guy for Goose Island, WGN TV's Jeff Hoover, Tracy Hoover, Erica McDonald in studio. We're talking about this year's Bourbon County Stout releases. So this vanilla, almost, I think, as much as the rare this year, got a lot of buzz at your tasting, your media tasting about a week ago. Talk about the vanilla.
Yeah, and just transitioning to the second set of beers, these are where we're adding adjuncts, ingredients to the beer. Vanilla rye is one that we've done vanilla a few times, 2010, 2014, 2018. 2018 was just in bourbon casks. It was not in rye. Here we went to a high rye. It's actually the same base recipe as the rare we just tasted, so that 31% rye. So it's a different beer than original, and we went entirely in rye whiskey casks. And then we added whole Madagascar. We got the whole bean in that was chopped up. 2,500 pounds of Madagascar vanilla bean went into this. And
wow.
You have to use the whole bean, I feel, because you not only get those typical kind of marshmallow, all those rich vanilla ice cream notes, but you get some kind of those fruitier notes, the little bit of fruit leather, a little bit from that coming from the bean, a little bit of tobacco as well. It's not just those classic vanilla notes. It's a depth of flavor that you wouldn't be able to get from like vanilla extract.
Very true.
So we've always used the beans when we've done it this way. And the reason vanilla, if it's not obvious, is so resonant is because we're already getting vanilla from the American oak, from the bourbon barrels or the rye whiskey barrels that we're using. Because vanilla comes from a compound called vanillin, which is found in both vanilla bean, the orchid bean, and American oak. So it's the same compound. So it's why they taste so remarkably similar. It just makes sense. So we're taking an element that's already in the beer and amplifying it. This is how the original adjunct variants of Bourbon County Stout started, was just taking vanilla or coffee, those elements that are already present in the beer to some degree, and just amplifying it, and just very simply in a very resonant way.
This is very much your dessert, Todd, right, this year? I mean, this is a beautiful variant this year.
Yeah, and Mike talks about this like it's second nature. It took us years to figure out which flavors work with the beer, which flavors we get from the whiskey.
Throughout the years with the different vanillas that you've done, do you feel like each vanilla is a little bit different of what you've evolved to? Yes.
I pay the bills, and I've seen the different kinds of vanilla that Mike has bought over the years. Yes. Mike does not. I think you were probably a world expert in vanilla at this point.
All right. Okay.
Might I suggest another revenue stream here? air fresheners, dryer sheets, candles.
For your car.
The scent on this. I don't even want to drink it because it smells so darn good.
It's something. There is something absolutely magical.
I don't think you want your car to smell like that when you get pulled over.
It's so good, though.
You could say it's my air freshener. Not me.
It's my dryer sheets.
There's something magical about vanilla. It really is. I think most of us, I won't say all of us, most of us have such a positive flavor memory with vanilla, whatever it may be, something from childhood, a dessert or whatnot. It's in so many things. It's very resonant.
Which is a good way to talk about how these variants come about. I mean, you really open up the door to everybody at Goose Island. It could be, the guy sweeping up, and it could be anybody if they want to bring something to the table. And there's always a story behind that and their childhood and the flavors that they enjoyed in a cookie grandma made or something, a side dish that, they made around Thanksgiving. It's all centered around their own experiences.
Yeah, we don't know the story when we pick them. We try to really be blind and just taste on flavor. So people submit 1 liter jars of Bourbon County Stout that they've done steeps with various ingredients.
Do they give you a little write-up, a little something?
There's usually either just a concept name or just a list of ingredients. But we say, I don't want to know. Don't put your name on it. We'll have 30 to 40 jars up there, and then our tasting panel will write some notes, judge them, score them, get the feedback kind of anonymously back. We'll just scan it and email it out to the whole company, and that way it stays anonymous. And we do this over many, many rounds in the early part of the year. And then we'll pick them. We'll pick the ones that we feel are just the best fit. And sometimes the best fit has something to do with that set of ingredients or how it references original or originality in general. Like, is this something that's, super exotic or familiar, or what I call the curb appeal.
Sure.
What we did last year, we always want to bring some new news.
Yeah.
But there's also familiar flavors that we want to always go back to. So vanilla is one, and then the one that we're going to taste next is directly coming out of those variant trials.
And this is the, as I look at my glass here, this is the brand Macaroon Stout. Oh, this was a really nice one. Another good dessert option for you, Tracy.
Okay. I'm definitely not baking or turning on the oven for
No, just pour a nice glass.
Let me ask, can I ask a question before we talk about the flavor profile? Something we were curious about, since you referenced Tracy and dessert. Do you know the difference between a macaroon and a macaron?
Mm. Ooh.
We were curious when we were coming out with this beer if people would know what a macaroon is.
And that's what I was going to ask. Do you pronounce it macaron like the French do or not? No, I don't. Maybe something with the sugar?
So I think a macaron is those little cake-looking sort of pastries. Okay. A macaroon is a chocolate sandwich? Coconut. Like cookie, like a ball. Hmm.
That's very light and airy.
But we've discovered that I don't think people know the difference.
No, I think people pronounce them the wrong way, I think.
Or maybe think that they're
I'm probably
one and the
pronouncing
same.
It wrong, too.
Then there's the Macarena.
Different. It's very different.
Who invited him?
You might be.
good idea for next year.
For next year, yes.
Coconut, without a doubt, is at the heart of this. This is, I think, ultimately where we landed here, and it's very much the story that, along the lines of what you mentioned, we have a guy on our sales team, Paul Spiller, who created this concept. And
some ginger, maybe some ginger.
There's some ginger. So it's like chocolate-dipped coconut macaroon with a little bit of ginger spice in there.
I think just David read the tasting activator. Notes.
Yeah. No, it's not in this thing. No. Do you not taste the ginger in it's almost at the end when you pick it.
Yeah, on the back end.
So he was inspired by making macaroons cookies with his mother, and it always seems to come back to
love
these
story.
Like
grandma
flavor
mom.
Memories or grandma or mom and how closely. So again, we don't pick based on the stories. It just ends up the stories come out afterwards, and there's always a connection there to a flavor memory, and but in the end, it had to taste great. So this is taking original and adding. Coconut, 13,500 pounds of toasted coconut, a bunch of cocoa nibs to bring us into that chocolate space without adding sweetness. We'll often use cocoa nibs for that because it can deliver the aroma and flavor without sweetness. And then the ginger. We used, actually from Local Spice House, we used some crystallized ginger, and some ginger juice. So just as a little activator in the background, I think if you're ginger sensitive, then you're probably saying like, yeah, I definitely get it. Others have a little bit tougher time finding it in there. So it's really just meant to be kind of in the background. This,
it is in the background, at the almost at the end. The proprietors. Now, this one, generally only available in Chicago, right?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Share that story.
This,
yeah.
This was our, going back to 2013 when we did the first proprietors, is when we had started getting a greater distribution nationally of Bourbon County Stout. But we wanted to have one, we wanted to make sure that the Chicagoans, you know, we were grateful to Chicago.
Right,
we wanted to have a beer just for Chicago. So proprietors has always
Goose
been
Island's
just
hometown.
For Chicago. Yeah, this is the city that made Bourbon County what it is. And so it's always been just for Chicago. And then up until this year, it's always been a stout. And this year, we decided to pivot and do a barrel-aged barley wine as the base beer.
And an interesting twist, I think.
A very interesting twist.
Wait, and for the newer to the beer industry, what does that mean? What is a barley wine? So
the quick way of putting it is all these styles pretty much originated in England hundreds of years ago. Imperial stout, just breweries used to make ales and either porters or stouts, like the dark beers. They didn't all come from one brewery. So the breweries that were making stouts and porters, their strongest porters were called stouts, and their strongest stouts were called imperial stouts. Well, the ale breweries, their strongest ales were called barley wines.
Okay.
So it was a wine of cereal grain. And so basically, it's just a way of saying it's a strong beer, but it doesn't have, now, as you can see, it's quite dark. Barley wines usually aren't quite that dark. I'd say they're like a deep amber color typically. When you barrel age, you pick up some color through the process. So this one's very, very dark brown.
Very much like the rare, it's wine. It's a little more of a wine consistency, a little bit lighter.
It doesn't have the roasted grains that the stout does. So it doesn't have those kind of coffee and chocolate malts that come out, you know, that come through the flavor profile of the stout. That's kind of the simplest way of saying like a barley wine. A lot of caramel, a lot of toffee, a lot of those kind of enhanced caramelized sugar notes. Bourbon barrel aged. So again, we're getting the vanilla, we're getting the caramel. This concept, again, came through the same trials. Colby McGrattan, who worked both on our barrel team and now in our cellar where we finished the beer, had this concept, and the rooted idea was tamarind spoon candy. I don't know if you guys know what that is. If you go through like local convenience stores in Chicago, you may see there's like the San Miguel brand or a few others where it's just a package of little plastic spoons with like a little kind of
like crystallized something on
it.
Yes. Yeah.
It's tamarind and sugar and lime and chili. And that was really the inspiration for here, because you've got a lot of those caramelized notes already in the beer. But to that, we added two types of tamarind. And if you're not familiar with tamarind, it could be like kind of watermelon, a little bit earthy, bring some acidity, like a little tartness, bring some tannin. We added some panela sugar, piloncillo, I should say, a whole unrefined sugar cane. And then lime for acidity and aroma. And then spice. So there's some spice here. Warning.
So.
Guajillo.
There's guajillo peppers.
And not the first time. You've done a couple of these with some spice before.
In 2016, proprietors, we used chipotle peppers, which are spicy as well. So there's definitely some spice here. But I think there's enough sweetness and character to the beer to help balance it out. It's a building spice. So if you take a sip, it may be like, yeah, it's not so bad. You take another sip, and it's that little
there.
Stove in the back of your throat that's cooking.
It's starting to build.
Yeah. And there's something, you know, we talk about flavor profiles and kind of mouthfeel is a big factor in all beer. And we don't play around with the lever of spice, like this type of heat and spice in beer that often, but it's just another flavor profile.
When you said lime zest, juice, both, the whole lime?
It's a puree of the whole lime.
Wow. Oh,
so it's beautiful. You just take a whole lime and puree it, so you get the top line aromatics, you get some acidity, you get a little pithiness and the bitterness as well.
Now, this is simply a matter of opinion because, you know, even when these are reviewed, it each one means something different to everybody who enjoys them. But
you are not going to ask us to pick our favorite child, are you?
That's something that you really find interesting and that you like. I'll start with you, Tracy.
Oh, God, no. Come back to me.
Jeff, do you have one that...
I like Bardstown.
Okay, so. Bardstown, okay. All right, which is the... it is called the Brand Cask Finish.
Yep.
Yes. Erica, do you have a favorite?
I do. So this year's proprietors is so unique. Oh. It's almost light and complex at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the best way I can describe it. It's very unique. You don't really come across this often. So that in and of itself, I think, is really special. And then, I don't know, it's a toss-up between the rare, because it's so beautiful and strong, and then the vanilla, the aromatic of the vanilla and the vanilla forward. So those are some of the standouts for me. But they're all, I mean, sensational.
And before we get to Tracy again, like picking your favorite child, but like, is there one that you're really happy the way it turned out? How about that?
My son, Owen. Sorry, Paige.
Do you only have? Oh no! I was going to say, do you only have one child? Because Paige called me.
Oh my God! Yeah.
That's just this week, though.
Yeah. Your kids are probably not in our demographic. They'll never hear that.
No.
But how about you?
No, I mean, as somebody who I spend all year and many years in some cases, some of these are 2-year projects. I don't pick favorites, but I will say I agree with Erica that I've never had anything quite like the proprietors before. It's like that combination of flavors is in beer is something that I think is just sensational, and I hope it's appreciated once we release it in a couple weeks.
For Chicago. And Tracy?
I have three. I can't help
myself. That's great. No, that's great.
The rare, the vanilla rye, and the macaroon. I love them all, and they're absolutely beautiful, and I'm already thinking about food pairings, and we have, I think
where your brain works.
But I'm thinking about all the people that are hard to buy for at the holidays, like, oh my God.
This is special, because look at the packaging.
Look at the packaging.
It's like buying a beautiful
bottle
of bourbon.
Put a bow on it, baby. That's it.
That's right.
Merry Christmas.
Listen, I have no problem answering. No problem answering this. Mike, you'll be surprised.
But, oh boy.
What's so beautiful about this lineup of beers is how subjective it is, right?
And
you've heard about all these different flavors.
Yeah.
So. You should say what your favorite is. Original this year is my favorite. It reminds me of 2019. I like that oak forwardness. I like that chocolate characteristic. I like how balanced it is. After that, rare. Right, just because we have these rare
barrels, I'm with you on both those. I would say both.
Doesn't mean it would turn out to be as delicious as it is.
Yeah.
Rare
Amazing.
Is living up to the name for sure. And then back to the classic vanilla rye.
Yeah.
I think the vanilla rye
hit it.
Spot on. Perfect.
Okay. Perfect.
All right. Do I have like 30 seconds to tell a joke?
Absolutely. Okay.
Oh, no.
Two whales go into a bar.
This is not a 30 second joke.
And the one whale says to the other whale, the other whale says, go home, Frank. You're drunk.
That's normally a 3.5 minute joke.
Yeah. Make it really funny, really drag it out. But I don't want to waste all your time.
Yeah, of course not. No. Bourbon County Stout releases Black Friday. Todd Osmond, he's the president of Goose Island. Mike Siegel, chief innovation guy at WGN-TV's Jeff Hoover, Tracy Hoover, Erica McDonald. Tracy, Erica, anything to plug?
No, I have nothing to plug. Oh, stop that.
All right. It's 720 WGN.
Thanks for sharing with us.
Cheers.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. Cheers.